Welcome back, Paseo. We are in week two of the scripture practice, and Shelton and I are here to discuss it. This week, our focus is on meditating on scripture. What does that mean? How does that look? We touched on this a little bit last week with some of what we shared during the reading portion of the practice. Shelton, what are you excited about this week when it comes to meditation and what we're going to get into?
I think learning to what the Bible means by meditation, we're going to get into it. We're going to see that that word is used so often throughout scripture when it comes to how to read scripture.
Right.
And then I think it's a foreign concept to Western Christianity, modern Western Christianity, that if we can relearn what this means, I think it's going to transform many of our experiences with the Word of God. You know, and there's a big difference between Eastern meditation. I think one of the reasons we hesitate to use that word is because in our day and age, we think about meditation like maybe, and we think about like the Buddhists or the Hindus or other practices that are meditating. And even beyond religious expressions, meditation as and just a practice in and of itself is being prescribed as a healthy avenue. And so because of that, in Christianity, I think we've tried to distance ourselves from that. Hey, this is something different. But in so doing, I think we're missing something major. There's a major difference between Eastern meditation and biblical meditation, right? And
so, definitely.
Eastern meditation is all about emptying yourself of all thoughts.
Right.
The search for nirvana in Buddhism and Hinduism is the search for the great nothingness.
Yep.
And so their practice is to... And ours is the exact opposite of that. It's not to empty ourselves of everything. It is to fill ourselves with the Word of God. And we're not in the great search of the great nothing. We're in the search of the great something, of the great one himself. And so we do try to empty ourselves of distractions and all that. But man, we want to take in the Word of God and really receive it. And so there's a major difference. And the Bible talks about meditation greatly. And learning how to meditate on the Word of God, I think, is transformative.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. And I think that's the number one difference between the two, right? Is emptying ourselves versus focusing ourselves or filling ourselves, like you said, with the Word of God. Some similarities, though. Last week, you mentioned a quote that Pastor Gary had given about hurry. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that hurry is the enemy of the preacher. Right.
Right. So, and you shared that that's really true. You can take the word preacher out.
Hurry
is the
enemy of all believers.
The enemy of the believer.
Anybody that wants to know God.
Any student of Jesus, any follower of Jesus, hurry is the enemy. And one similarity is that you do have to slow down. You do have to set aside time and have a certain approach if you're going to meditate. So we have a few of our favorite passages on meditation. So let's start with Psalm 1, very famous psalm, and talks about delighting in the law of the Lord. It contrasts the way of the righteous with the way of the wicked. Do you want to read that for us?
Sure. I'm getting to it real quick. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And he goes on, but the difference between is meditating on the Word of the God day and night.
Yeah, it's a very visual passage. It's describing this tree that's planted beside a river of water, and it's always got an abundance of nutrients and life flowing through it, so much so that it's always bearing fruit. It's a fruitful life. And the psalmist says that that is a description of a person who has decided to delight in the law of the Lord.
I like that you said that has decided this is my delight.
Yes.
We were made for delight. That's a fascinating concept. Like sometimes we think that pleasures are wrong.
Right.
Right? But no, you were made for delight. You were made for pleasure. It's just that we were made to find our delight and our pleasure in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this image of a child trying to put different things into the socket and being shocked every time that it literally being shocked.
Yes.
Until you actually have a plug that goes in it and it lights up. And in our delight mechanism in our soul, we try to plug in lots of things and are shocked when they don't, it doesn't lead to, and it only leads to problems and pain. When that was literally made for the Lord, like we're to delight in Him. And so when a person learns to delight in God by meditating on His Word, that's how we delight in Him.
Yeah.
Then all of this health comes and this joy comes, and it's just a different way of life. And blessed is that person.
We talked some last week about our attitudes and our approach to Scripture. I think this is one of them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, depending on how you've grown up or what your life experience has been, our attitude towards the Scriptures can be very respectful, but not one of delight, and mm-hmm. definitely not one of meditation day and night. Mm-hmm. That's pretty intense. So for some of us, maybe we've got this idea that I'm committed to God's Word by, you know, weekly sitting under a godly, gifted teacher, and they're sharing the Word of God with me, and I'm learning. But we're wanting to move far beyond that to a place, like you mentioned last week, where we are individually engaging with the Scriptures, both by reading and by meditating, by learning how to delight in it and reflect on it and let our lives be built around it day and night. There's another passage in Joshua chapter 1. This one's, you know, the Lord is charging Joshua, and He says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, for then you will be prosperous and successful."
Very similar, isn't it?
Very similar, yes. There's this idea of day and night, meditating on it day and night. There's this idea of this is the path to an abundant life, a fruitful life. You'll be prosperous and successful. There are a few different elements here in Joshua, though, that maybe don't stand out in Psalm 1. So one of them is that we're meditating in order to be careful to do it. Mm. So just like we talked about last week, that God isn't just wanting us to become smarter intellectually. He's wanting us to be transformed so that our lives look differently. And this is what the Lord is telling Joshua: meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it.
Mm. Yeah, I think the metaphor of food is strong. I mean, Jesus uses this, right? So man does not live off off of bread alone, but off every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then He'll later say, after the woman at the well, "Hey, my food is to do the will of God."
Right.
Right. And so He is connected that He lives off the Word of God like bread, and that to do it is His food. And just this kind of fascinating, He's modeling for us, hey, the Word is more than just something I hear. And you think, how many Sundays do we sit and hear and listen to it, to a sermon? Right.
Right.
How many times do we do that? Does it result in any action whatsoever? And if not, according to Jesus, you're not being fed.
Yeah.
You're not being fed.
You're not being fed. And I think,
not because it's not being taught, but because you haven't.
And so, your meditation, I'm trying to go with this analogy, because I do think this is true, that so you've got, God is giving us the Word. He's wanting it to change our lives, the way that we live. And meditation is in the middle. So we can be exposed to God's Word. This is the parable of the sower. We can be exposed to God's Word, and it doesn't result in a changed life. Mm. And so if you think of meditation as rumination, as digestion, as processing the Word of God, so that we seek a better understanding of it and we seek to be changed by it, both in the way we think and the way we live, that's meditation. Meditation is this process by which we are exposing ourselves to God's Word and allowing it to change us, to reshape us. So let's look at one more verse, a favorite verse on meditation. This one is from the New Testament, from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And I'll read that for us and get your thoughts. There, Paul tells the believers, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And again, just to emphasize the phrase, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I just love it. I love it. Let it dwell within you. I like the word dwell because that is not a quick thing. Dwell by definition is to let it be in you. Let it sit in you for a while. And you think in our present day world of how we take in the word as believers, oftentimes it's a verse. The verse of the day sent to you. It's a quick, hey, I did my devotional today. I'm out. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a checkbox type of thing.
Yeah.
But this is saying savor it for a while. Let it dwell in you. Think about it. Chew on it mentally. Process it. Read it again. It denotes.
Yeah.
And not just a little bit, richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Like, so give a lot of effort, lot of time. If time is currency, then to let it dwell with richly is to let it cost you. Mm. Give it lots of mental space to let it sit with you and think about it again. Recall it. Be slow, you know, look up. And so, you know, first week's practice was to designate a set aside time to read the Word of God. But as part of that, so if I'm going to read a psalm, one of your suggestions was to read just one psalm a day.
Right.
Okay, so we just read Psalm 1. Then I'm probably going to give myself 30 to 45 minutes to read Psalm 1. Mm-hmm. It only takes me maybe a minute and a half to read Psalm 1.
Right.
But I'm giving myself a lot of time to let it dwell richly.
Right.
To just process it, slow down, read it again, pray that, hey, the author of this is with me right here, right now. Mm-hmm. I have a quote from J.I. Packer on meditation. Can I read it to you?
Yeah.
I like it. This is in his book, Knowing God. He says, meditation is an activity of holy thought consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communion with God.
Wow.
I like that, right? So this
I'm going to have to meditate on that.
But it's the idea that you're not doing this alone. Like God is, through the Spirit, He's right there with you. So, for instance, you're reading Psalm 1, you can pause and say, God, what did you mean by this? Mm-hmm. Help me to understand this. Mm-hmm. You're talking to the author. That's meditation because you're hey, this sentence, you said to meditate on it day and night and to delight. What does that look like in my life, God? What do I need to change in order to do that? That's meditation. You're processing it and letting it dwell, and you're sitting there for a while. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because you're doing it under the eye of God with the purpose of communion with God. So this is that great filling ourselves with in the search of the great one who's right there with us.
Right.
By slowing down with the word and reading it with him right there. And that's meditation. That's what biblical meditation is.
Yeah, I love that. These phrases, day and night from Psalm 1 and Joshua 1. Now we've got this idea of dwelling, letting God's word dwell in us. So the time aspect of this is important. And again, meditation is a means of processing what God is revealing to us. Another thing that stood out to me here in Colossians 3 is that this biblical meditation also involves others. So,
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The you there is plural. And then the rest of the verse kind of bears that out because it's speaking to one another.
Psalms and hymns.
Yeah. And so we do want to draw away and listen. But one of the distinctions between Eastern meditation and biblical is that the body of Christ is engaged. It's part of how we process God's word. And we'll come back to that here towards the end. But something that you talked about, letting it cost us and not being hurried. And we've already touched on that, but this gets into the challenges of meditation. Yes. I think all of us face. Our modern minds have been trained to be distracted and to engage on a surface level. Mm. Like most people don't read anymore. They skim or they scan. And that's actually just an outcome of digital reading. So as someone who has been involved in social media and online ministry for years now, this is just the reality is that people are not going to read your blog. They're going to scan your blog. And so you actually lay it out a certain way to go along with that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We actually do want to go deep and give God our time and our attention.
I was laughing because I found myself, I'll tell Amy, hey, I read an article the other day about something that I realized. I didn't read the article. I read the headline about that article, and I just took that in and said, hey, this is happening. Cool. All right. And you go on to the next headline.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even be bothered to click on the headline to read about the details of it.
And we're being constantly trained for that. We're being trained in two ways. One is to engage at a surface level, to not really go deep. Mm-hmm. And two is to be distracted. And they both sort of fit with this idea of an attention span. Mm. So modern minds, the modern mind loses its attention span in something, depending on the study, between 12 and 20 seconds. So one of the great challenges to meditating on God's word is allowing it to begin to retrain even the way our minds think and how we can't approach the scriptures like that. You're not going to be transformed by the scriptures if we come at it with this modern mentality of just scanning, just getting the surface and not going deeper.
Yeah. And there's other distractions. I mean, there's a lot of responsibilities that come in. If you're parenting little ones, maybe your job requirements and you're exhausted. Yeah. So every time you sit down to read, you try to meditate, you fall asleep. There's a little bit of me that I would say that's okay. Maybe that's what you need for a little bit, and just sleep in the Lord. I think this is the day and night thing. When you wake up in the night, try to recall, hey, what was it, God, that we were talking about? And He's not disappointed in that. You know, it's not right. And so to really just rest and dwell in the Word of God. Hey, this is who I am. Yeah, there's a lot there.
Well, I mean, I agree. And that's why, just to remind folks that these are practices and we are practicing meditation. So we're learning how to become better and to approach scripture differently and in a more deep fashion. I think of Mary and Martha, the story there that most of us probably identify with Martha, that we are harassed and hurried by many responsibilities. So it's not just smartphones. The pace of modern life is very busy. Yeah. But I think that's why it wasn't completely different then.
No.
It was a challenge to draw away and give Jesus our attention. It's going to be the same for us today.
We often use that excuse of, hey, they have more time. Like, that's not true. Like, how many times do you have to go to the well every day to pull out your water?
Yeah.
I mean, just that daily tasks were so much harder.
Yeah.
They didn't have the grocery store.
Good
so they're farming, they're producing, they're cleaning, they're chopping all their food up. They're, every day was much more difficult. So it may not have as many overall things accomplished, but each task took so much longer. So, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. Man is distracted by their business and their toil.
Yes.
And yet there's a spot here to slow down and feast on the Word of God.
Well, let's wrap up with some suggestions, some tips, maybe some things that we've learned over the years that can be helpful. I'll throw out a few ideas, and then if you want to share some of the ways that you found helpful for you to slow down and to give your attention to the scriptures. I've been using this simple little acronym to read with purpose. Mm-hmm. And so this is how I think about it, and there's no vowels in this. But I'm going to pronounce it purpose. But reading with purpose, and that is to start with prayer. And you had a great prayer from Psalm 119, I believe it was.
Yeah, show us beautiful things in your word, O Father.
That's a very simple prayer. So I'm not talking about spend 5 minutes praying to God. Just a simple prayer. Lord, I'm setting aside this time. Would you meet with me? Would you guide me? Would you open my eyes? Would you show me wonderful things from your word?
Yeah, I like your Psalm 148 one as well. Like, I give my soul to you now.
So a simple prayer, it can be scripture. So the P in purpose is to start with prayer, and then the R is to read. So we talked about that. Try to read a physical Bible. There's a second R, which is to reflect. And so as I read, if something stands out, then I will underline it or highlight it. And then when I finish reading, I'll go back and I'll reflect on what did I mark? And I'll try to give that additional thought. Why did that stand out to me? Lord, is there something that you're wanting me to see in this? And then there's another P, pray. Mm-hmm. So now I want to pray over what did I see when I read. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with prayer. I'm going to read. I'm going to reflect. I'm going to pray again. And then I went backwards. The fifth one is the S, which is to share, which we talked about. Purpose. That's right. Pray, read, reflect, pray, and then share. Just share with one person. And this could even be via text. I've got several guys that I text with each day. Hey, this was my favorite verse. This is what I'm thinking. God, I'll share a quote. I don't know who came up with this, but the quote is that thoughts disentangle themselves, passing through the lips and fingertips.
Yeah.
And it's a really nerdy way to say when you share something, when you speak something, or when you write something out, it can be clear in your mind, but when you have to actually get it out into the world, it actually disentangles itself. Mm. So this last one of sharing, part of that is part of meditation. It's helping me wrestle through, what did that really say? Why is it important? What am I supposed to do about it?
Yeah. I like that. I like that acronym wonderfully. Yeah, I think my suggestion would be when you sit down to read, don't just jump right into reading. Don't even just jump right into praying. Sit and be for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And notice the things that got around you. Notice sunshine. Hey, God, you made that.
Right.
Notice, listen to the birds, wherever you're doing. Just be still for a little bit and know that he's God. Then pray and talk to him. Start that. And then when you read, I like your through the lips. I like to read out loud. There's something about hearing it as well. Taking your time through it. A lot of times when I'm with people and I say, hey, will you read this passage out? And they'll read it and they just fly right. You're like, stop. So go back and read that slowly. No, you're not being graded on speed reading.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in college, speed reading was all the heyday. Like, you were not intelligent unless you could speed read a passage and discern all of that. And like, that sounds miserable to me. Don't speed read the Word of God. Slow read it, purposefully digesting each taste. Delighting in it, right? Delighting in it. This is wonderful. It's not ice cream that's going to melt away. I got to eat it quick. It's going to be there. Like, eat it.
Yeah, like we said, this is going to cut counter to a lot of our instincts,
which is kind of the point.
It is kind of the point. So, Paseo, this is a practice. Try to have fun with it. It's going to, for many of us, it's going to feel awkward and different. That's okay. You're not failing. That's actually normal when it comes to beginning to learn how to meditate, to reflect, to process God's word. Any last thoughts from you?
Yeah, I would say do not treat the word reading and the meditating of the word of God as a chore on your checklist. Treat it as a time to spend with God. That's the big shift. And so I'm going to be with you today, God, through this. And that's never a chore. It's a joy. He delights in you, so delight in him. We're praying for you. Can't wait to hear from you.